This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. The title of our khutbah today is The Gateway to Controlling Desires. We're now approaching the month of Ramadan, and we all know that the true fast is about controlling the tongue, making sure we don't use profanity, we don't backbite, we don't lie, and all the other dangers of the tongue. And we also know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to abstain from eating and drinking. And the scholars give a very simple explanation of what not eating and drinking has to do with attaining taqwa. And they mentioned that when the stomach is full, the rest of the body parts become hungry. And when the stomach is hungry, the rest of the body parts are full. You can imagine if someone is close to starvation, he's not interested in gossip, he's not interested in spreading rumors, he's not interested in looking at the haram, because when the stomach is empty, the rest of the body parts become full. But the minute someone is full, they're relaxed, what is the latest gossip? The rest of the body parts become hungry. And the idea behind not eating and drinking during Ramadan is to help push down and suppress those other desires. But part of the practice of fasting is to teach us or give us this attitude towards food that we should carry on for the rest of the year. And that is being able to control our desires. And that starts with eating and drinking, or controlling our eating and our drinking. It's training the nafs, training yourself to not always be running after shahawat, desires. Running after shahawat all the time, this is a description of animals. Animals, for the most part, cannot control their desires. When they're hungry, they eat. When they're thirsty, they drink. When they want to sleep, they sleep. They never say, let me abstain, let me withhold for an hour or so. They have no reason to do so. So the animal is always living, running after its desires, even putting itself in danger, trying to get after what it desires. But that is not the case for the human being. You find that many of our health problems come from not controlling how much we consume of food. Sometimes there are people, their life depends on their diet, and they still can't control their eating. We're saying the main difference between humans and animals is controlling your desires. And it can't be that we're just chasing after our desires like the animals are. It can't be that we've lost self-control to this point. There was in one of the magazines an advertisement for a contraption that you put inside your mouth that will not allow you to eat a lot of food, will limit how much food that you eat. Yani, I've lost my control to the point that I have to put a device in my mouth just to limit how much I eat. Have we lost self-control to this point? You know, goldfish, they tell you, do not overfeed your goldfish because they don't feel full and they will eat until they're unable to swim at all. Or in taking care of dogs, they tell you, don't give your pet hot food. If it's scalding hot, the dog cannot control itself and it will burn itself and keep eating and getting burnt in its throat, in its mouth. It can get severely burnt, but it can't control itself. It keeps eating. And it's sad to say there are some people like that now. The food is hot. It's burning their fingers and it's burning their lips and they're eating and trying to breathe and blow and it's getting burnt while eating. They can't control themselves to wait 4 minutes until it calms down. And the Prophet ﷺ said precisely this in the hadith. He said that you don't eat your food while it's scalding hot. You calm down, you wait until it cools down, and then you eat it. So we're not like animals who can't control themselves to the point where they're burning themselves and still continue to eat. The problem is we've let this desire or our desires in general go unchecked. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya bani Adam, khudhu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Wakulu washrabu wa la tusrifu innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. In this verse, we only want this part of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and eat and drink, but not in excess. Eat and drink, but do not exceed. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are excessive. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he comments on this verse. He says, and whoever leaves that, meaning the advice of this verse, eating and drinking. So if someone doesn't eat and drink and he comes close to starvation, he says it is extreme, and both of these prevent good health and bring illness. Yani, not eating, not drinking prevents good health and will bring illness to you. He says the other extreme also prevents good health and brings illness. By that I mean, this is Ibn al-Qayyim saying, by that I mean excess in eating and drinking. He says all of good health is in this short ayah. He says all of having good health is in this short ayah. Eat and drink, but not in excess. There's a hadith that we all know, but many of us quote it incorrectly. That is the hadith of filling your stomach one third with food, one third with air, and one third with drink. We mention this hadith as this is how you should eat, that this is the beginning of the hadith. But it's not the beginning, that's the end of the hadith. That's the maximum if you have to. Because, and this hadith is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, and it's a Hasan hadith. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَا مَلَأَ آدَمِيٌّ شَرًّا مِنْ بَطْنٍ. The son of Adam has not filled any vessel or anything worse than his stomach. Meaning the worst thing you can fill is your stomach. And as we saw earlier, part of that wisdom, when your stomach is hungry, the rest of the body parts are full and vice versa. Or the effect it has on our taraweeh. And we don't need to give examples. Every one of us have experienced a day in Ramadan where we ate little and went to taraweeh, and how easy and light and how focused we were. And every one of us has experienced a day in Ramadan when we ate too much and the taraweeh was extremely long and it was heavy and we barely were conscious of what the imam was saying. So the Prophet ﷺ began by saying the worst thing that you can fill is your stomach. Then he said, بحسب ابن آدم أكلات يقمن صلبة. Sufficient for the son of Adam are a few bites to sustain him. A few bites, يُقِمْنَ صُلْبَةً, to keep his back straight, meaning to keep him able to stand straight. Sufficient for the son of Adam are just a few bites so he's able to stand up straight. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا مَحَالَ. If there is no other way and you have to, then comes the maximum, then comes the end of the hadith. فَثُلُثٌ لِطَعَامِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِشَرَابِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِنَفَسِهِ. Then if you have to and there's no other way, then eat one third. That's for food of your stomach, and the other one third for drink, and leave one third for air. We quote this as the beginning of the hadith. That's how you should eat. No, that's how you should eat if you have to and there's no other way. Getting full, Islamically, doesn't exist. Yani, there isn't anything for getting full. We just have warning of filling. But it doesn't exist, the idea of getting full, which is how the majority of us now eat. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, he was invited to a walima. And there were all kinds of food, there was all kinds of foods available. And after he ate, the host asked him, he said, أَلَا آتِي لَكَ بِجَوَارِشِ. Should I not bring you jawarish? So Ibn Umar says, وَمَا الْجَوَارِشِ. What are jawarish? So the host tells him, شَيْءٌ يَهْضُمُ الطَّعَامُ إِذَا أَكَلْتَ. He tells him, something that helps digest the food that you ate. يعني like what we have now, the fawar, the, you know, these things that bubble up, and sodas and Tums and antacids and all these things to help because we over ingest. So Ibn Umar answers him. He says, Wallahi ma shabi'tu mundhu arba'ati ashhur. He says, Wallahi, I've never been full for the last 4 months. I don't eat like that. He doesn't eat that way. That's not the way of the believers. I never filled my stomach in the last 4 months. But look at his ability to control himself. Look at his ability to control his desire and to control his intake of food and drink. Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw Jabir ibn Abdullah, the companion, with some meat in his hand. Yani some raw meat that he just bought from the market. So he asked him, مَا هَذَا يَا جَابِرْ? He said, what is this, يَا جَابِرْ? He said, يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَاللَّهِ اشْتَهَيْتُ لَحْمًا فَاشْتَرَيْتُهُ. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I desired some meat, so I came and bought some meat. So Umar radiallahu anhu tells him, أَوَ كُلَّ مَا اشْتَهَيْتِ اشْتَرَيْتِ أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتُكُمْ فِي حَيَاتُكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. He said, أَوَ كُلَّ مَا اشْتَهَيْتِ اشْتَرَيْتِ. Is it every time you desire something, you just purchase it? Did Jabir radiallahu anhu do anything wrong? He desired meat and went and bought some meat. But Umar radiallahu anhu was not talking about that. He's talking about something greater, about controlling your nafs. You're not just chasing after your desire. Every time you desire something, you go out and get it. And this is exactly what has happened to us here in America, because everything is available and everything is close by. You desire strawberry ice cream, the grocery store down the street has it. You desire sushi, multiple places in the area have it. Chips, there. Chocolate, milk, all these fast food places. So we learn then to just instantly gratify ourselves, instantly satisfy ourselves. And what's bad about that is that it can spill into our acts of worship. In dua, as one example, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُسْتَجَابُ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ. Your dua will be answered so long as you don't rush. So today people are used to things happening quickly and instantly, and whatever you desire, you go out and get it. So now you desire something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you make dua. And many people now are so impatient with dua that they expect the minute they put their hands down, the package is right next to them. But they become impatient when asking Allah azza wa jal. And you're supposed to constantly persevere and insist and keep returning back to Allah and begging, as the scholar said, just like a child when he wants candy from a parent, keep crying back to Allah and returning back to Allah. But people don't have patience anymore. So they come looking for shortcuts. And these are true stories. People will come and ask you, what is a dua that if you do something, Allah will instantly respond to you? Allah Azza wa Jalla does not have to instantly respond to anyone. He responds, for lack of a better term, based on His time and based on His wisdom. But we've become impatient. We're used to our nafs getting whatever it wants, whatever it desires, quickly. We barely restrain it. When is the last time for fun, we just for no reason, we just restrained ourselves? I desired something, but I just didn't get it. Because I don't have to always follow my nafs. I don't have to always rush after whatever my desire, or whatever I desire. Just like the animals, they desire something, they go get it. But this is a practice, and this is a practice that we learn in Ramadan. It spills into other parts when we don't control and restrain ourselves. Smoking, what is smoking? It's inability to control desires. Playing video games until Fajr, it's inability to control desires. Looking at women, it's inability to control desires. Lack of patience is the inability to restrain yourself because of something else or some other alternative that you desire. Not putting on hijab is inability to restrain your desire. Many things are related to an unrestrained nafs. And Ramadan is the place to begin that practice of restraining your nafs and controlling your desires. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he used to never eat unless a poor person came down and sat with him. So one day his food was prepared, so he told Nafi', his servant, who later becomes a great scholar of Islam, to go out and find a poor person to eat with him. So the man came, he brought a poor person, and the man, even though he was poor, but he ate in excessive amounts. So after he left, Abdullah ibn Umar tells Nafi', he says, Ya Nafi', la tudkhil alayya hadha. He says, Oh Nafi', don't bring him back again. Yani don't, next time, don't bring this person again. فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنْ يَأْكُلُ فِي مِعًا وَاحِدْ وَالْكَافِرُ يَأْكُلُ فِي سَبْعَةِ أَمْعَى. He said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that the believer, and some scholars said what it means here, it means the true believer, eats in one stomach, and the disbeliever eats in seven. Now the scholars explained this is not, the Prophet ﷺ was not saying that anatomically they're different. And no scholar ever said this, that they have seven stomachs. But what it means is that the true believer from, or Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he's saying that the hadith is supposed to turn off the true believer from eating too much. Because once you hear a description is that of the kuffar, it turns you off. So it says the kafir eats in seven stomachs, meaning he eats a lot and he eats to his fill. That's what it means in general, taban. And meaning he's following that desire. Well, the believer just eats a little bit. So it's saying that the believer eats a little. Well, the disbeliever, and again it's in general speaking, eats a lot. And then he mentioned that it goes with the verse in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who disbelieve, they're enjoying themselves. And they eat as the animals eat. Eat to their fill, eat whenever they want, eat whatever they want. Where we have restrictions on what we can eat, and we are restrain ourselves, even from the halal. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a man with a huge belly. And he said, لو كان هذا, he pointed with his finger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the man's belly. And now it's important to understand when we mention a hadith like this, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader and he is the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, so he can do things like that. Yani, so don't go around pointing at people's bellies basically. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can do something like that because from his position it's accepted. So An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to his belly. He said, لو كان هذا في غير هذا المكان لكان خيرا لك. What does it mean? He said, if this were in any other place, يعني, if all the food that you put in there was in another place, meaning what? That you gave it to the poor, that you ate with the poor, that you didn't just consume all of it until you built up يعني, a huge gut, it would have been better for you. Better for you in the dunya and better for you in the akhirah. So with that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who control their desires and who restrain their nafs. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to control, to accept our good deeds during the month of Ramadan. And to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فاللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا. فاللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.